you know, and what I'm finding out is that the day that the church of, you know, what I came up in, the church that you came up in, that thing is changing. Some folk would rather sit at home and watch a streaming device, but I'm one of those ones who believe that God's anointing and his power still can compel them to come. Even if they choose to sit in the comfort of their home and in their bed, there's something about the anointing. The Bible talks about, like I said, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free. So it's not so much what you say it sometimes, but it's the person who says it and the anointing that's in the power of their voice. Amen. You know, we see people here that can sing. You know, Beyonce can sing herself all, you know, sing herself out of anything. Amen. But she didn't have that anointing. So if you put a Shirley Caesar beside a Beyonce, she will put her to shame. Amen. Because it's something about that anointing. It's something about that power. It's something about when God infuses you with his power that it just, but it just destroys yokes. It just sets the captive free. And I'm just grateful for it on this morning. Amen. So those out on podcast land, we appreciate you and we thank you for what God is doing. And we ask that you support this ministry. If you do Cash App, we have what the $SafeHouse Church, GSO. $SafeHouse Church, GSO. And on PayPal, that's paypal.me/ministryaid. Amen. And we'll celebrate here and offer near the end of our service here. Everybody's feeling good?
Amen.
Amen. Let's talk a little bit today. You all know that God, you know, I've told you before that, you know, the people God is attracted to this ministry that he's put here are people who are thinkers. And I understand when thinkers, you know, come together, the thinkers, you know, the minds are always going, the mouth might not be open. That's because they're thinking. You know, I it's taken some getting used to because I was used to places where everybody was up and they were shouting and they were running around and all these kind of things. And we was having this emotional high and everybody walking out there feeling good. But then when we walked out in the parking lot and I asked them, what did the man of God say? They couldn't tell me anything. And that was a grave concern to me because I know and you know that the battle is not when we're inside of this sanctuary, but the battle is when we're walking out there in the world and having to encounter all kinds of things and all kinds of turmoil and all kinds of stuff that's coming at our spirits constantly, 24 hours, 7 days a week, amen? That we always are under attack. There's always something. There's always this. There's always that. And what the word of God is what there to be what? A shield. Mm-hmm. That is there to be a shield of faith that I can be able to speak to things and I'm able to chew on those words and I'm able to pull those up and it's able to what activate my faith. My faith is key. My faith is paramount. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. So as we go forth on today, I want to speak to your intellect. I want to speak to your spirit. I want to challenge your thinking. I want to challenge you in such a way that you'll pick up your Bible next week and you say, let me look at some of these things. Let me see it. I know because as I continue to study and I pray and then I go and I study and God is revealing things to me that I've never seen before. He's bringing things to me in such a way. You know, last week we talked about the cross and how we celebrate the cross. And I never knew my entire life that the cross was actually a pagan symbol. And that's why people say, oh, you're a Christian. They look at them. You don't even know your own history. That's why I would run into 5%ers and then people of Islam and all this. And they would tell me things about my faith that I didn't know. And what I found and what I understand is that is not good. Amen. You should know your faith. You should know what you believe. And since you know what you believe, you know how to defend what you believe. You become an apologetist. Mm-hmm. Apologetist is someone who defends the gospel. So we're all apologetists at some point in time. And my job in here is to disciple you to the point that what you'll pick up the word of God and read it for yourself. And then what you are to do in turn is to what? To disciple and then in turn to discipleship somebody else. Everybody in here should have somebody that they're discipling right now. Everybody in here should have somebody that they pour into right now. This is not just me. This church is not going to be filled to capacity if you're not reaching out doing your part. It's one thing for us just to sit here and say, no, I spoke to this one, I spoke to that one, but I know that everybody has one person that God has put in your heart. I'm not asking you to win everybody, but I'm asking you to win one. And that one that you win, that you pour into, will it put you in a position to be hurt sometimes? Absolutely. Will it put you in a position to be disappointed sometimes? Absolutely. However, but it is the call of God upon your life to be out. He said, go out to the highways and the byways and compel them to come. So as we sit here today, and I'm going to empower you to go forth, and I'm going to empower you, and then I'm going to hold you accountable for what God is teaching us on today. So today, if I want to use for a subject, today we've been in the month of August. August is appreciation. And we talked about the appreciation of how people appreciate the cross. Really, it shouldn't be about the cross. It should be what about what happened on the cross. So today, we want to talk about use your gift. You use your gift, gave your present, but he appreciates your treasure. Let me say that again. You use your gift, you gave your present, but he appreciates your treasure. So Peter, where are you going with that, Pastor Pete? Let me tell you a little bit. So I was looking as I studied this, and we talked about the word gifting. And we talked about a gift. What is a gift? A gift is something that is given to you without recourse. It's something that's given to you without exchange. It's something that's given to you, something that you did not earn. So many times when we look at gift, I don't know about you, but some of us get to a point that we appreciate a gift. Why? Because giftings to us are things that people have given us that we did not have to have the sweat of our brow. We didn't have to have anything going on. It's just that they something they gave. And see, the Bible talks about that God has given all of us giftings. Amen? And I believe that all of us have the same level of gifting. It's just depending on your gifting is in a different area than somebody else. And it's about how much time have you spent seeking God to see, Lord, where is my gifting? Now, see, the reason that giftings is cool, why? Because gifting in turn also puts what? Finances in your pocket. People pay you for your gift. Your gift is what puts food on your table. If you're gifted in chemistry, or you're gifted in sales, if you're gifted in cutting hair, if you're gifted in organization, if you're gifted in making flowers, if you're gifted in teaching, that pays your bills.
Amen.
That's God's gift to you.
Right.
Well, often what we find ourselves is we want to do what? Give back the gift that God has given us. Meaning that, okay, when they ask me to do something there, I just want to use my gift. I'm going to give my gift back to God, and I'm giving my gift back to God. Why would God want a gift that he gave to you? I gave it to you. Gifting meaning what? It cost you nothing. So it's easy for me to give you back something that I did not have to pay for. If you gave me this and you said, well, here's this watch right here, and I want you to have this watch, then all of a sudden you say, well, I need you to sacrifice something. What is the first thing you're going to sacrifice? I don't know about you, but it's going to be the thing that I did not pay for. It's going to be the gift that you gave me. So oftentimes we find ourselves in the place that God asked us to sacrifice, and the first thing that you and I give him is what? Our gift. The one that he gave to you. Now you think about it. If you ask somebody to sacrifice something and I give you in return what I gave you, is that much of a sacrifice? How much of a sacrifice is that? So your gift essentially means nothing. Everybody's going on gifting, gifting, gifting. Gifting is for this world. Your gift means nothing to God. He gave it to you. Why would he want it back? So then we go on and I'm talking about gifting. So then I go on and say, wait, you gave your present, your present, your present. What is present? Present can be represented almost three different ways, right? We got the present, then you got, you know, as I said, you got your present, then you have your present, and then you have presented. Amen? And they almost spell all the same way. You got one that has ED on the end. So you can give a present. Present meaning that what? If somebody gives a present is given for a certain particular thing. Now check the difference. A gift. I can give a gift just to be given a gift. Okay? But when I give a present, I gave a present with intentionality. Mm-hmm. God is intentional, right? So if I give a present, I'm giving with intentionality. I have an intention behind what I'm giving. So when I'm giving this to God, I'm giving this to the Lord. I'm giving this for this reason. I'm giving this for this situation. I'm praying for this particular thing. I'm not coming just out of just free will, but I have somewhat serious intentions behind what it is that I'm doing.
Amen.
And I do them when? In the right now. That's why a present is what? Something that's what? Right now. So if I was giving my wife a birthday present, I have what? I'm giving her a present for what? The situation, which is her birthday, which is when? Right now. So I know sometimes when I'm in meetings and we do the roll call, we say what? Some people say here and some people say what?
Present.
Because I'm in the now. So sometimes God is asking us what? You know, we tell God, so, well, I give you my gift because it don't cost me anything. But you know what? I can also give you my present because I'm already in this right now. But that's not what he's seeking. So you present, your present is pleasantly presented in the present. Let me say that again. Your present is pleasantly presented in the present. Amen. So let's talk about this thing, this last part. We're talking about he appreciates your treasure. He appreciates your treasure is of value. Mm-hmm. Your treasure is valuable to you. Your treasure is usually something you've earned, and it's actually uncountable. A true treasure is actually uncountable. What do you mean by that? I have this 1964 Impala. My grandfather died, I got that car. I love that car. To be honest, that car is a treasure to me. Mm-hmm. I've had numerous offers of people wanting to buy that car. And you know what my response is all the time? They don't make enough money for you to buy this car. Now, clearly, what's the price? What's the car worth? The car might be worth, in Blue Book value, maybe $25,000, $30,000. There's a value that's been set to it. Mm-hmm. But since it's a treasure and it's uncountable to me, I have no value for it because I treasure it. Are you with me?
Amen.
So you can come in there and ask to buy that car all day long. I'm not going to sell it because what? Your money does not meet what I want for that car. It's uncountable to me. Now, if you all think about it, some of you have things and places, things and stuff in your home and in your life and situations that you don't take money for. My children and my family and my wife are treasure to me. You can't give me a price for them. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So now, you know, we got gifting, we got the present, and now we have treasure. So your treasure is your value or is valuable. But let's talk about what the word says. So these are all what? Definitions that we use here. You can clearly look these up in Google, Webster Dictionary, and I invite you to do so. To find out what I'm teaching you today is right along with the word of God. But I want to inspire you today. I want to show you some things that God has poured out to me that I've never seen before. So this is why I brought my computer today, because y'all know that means I got a lot of scriptures. Isaiah 33, and I know, like I said, I have a lot of scriptures. One thing I want to make sure that we start doing here. Uh-oh, you ain't gonna pull that up. There we go. One thing I want us to start doing. You see this little notebook I have here? I want you to start bringing a notebook with you to church. Like I said, Pastor Biggs already told us, this is not going to be a conventional place. But I want you to bring a notebook with you. And I heard Jamal Bryant say this, and he said that his history teacher used to say this, that the shortest pencil is more reliable than the longest memory. The shortest pencil is more reliable than the longest memory. What are you saying? If you write it down, even with a nub, it's gonna outlast your memory. I know some of us have good intentions, like, oh, I'm just going to remember that, I'm going to chew on that, and you very well may. But it's something different about when you write stuff down. I don't know about you, but I've not been a big person of writing stuff down until about the last 3 to 4 years. And I have, you all see me, I have several different journals I have stuff in. And every now and then when I get discouraged, or every now and then when I'm in a situation, every now and then when I'm feeling kind of down or something, I go through that journal and I see things that God has revealed to me. I see things that I've written down. I've seen old scriptures and verses I've written down and messages I've heard. And all of a sudden, that message takes on a new light. It takes on a new light. And you know, the pastor might have preached it this way, or the teacher might have said it that way. But that time when I come back and I come back to it, it says something different. So I encourage each and every one of you to start bringing something to church to write down verses and key things. I know people call it tweetables. You can tweet about it a little bit later. I want you to tweet. Safe House Church. No, it's not. Safe House GSO. At Safe House GSO, that's our Twitter handle. So I want you to tweet and have fun with that. But while we're here, I want you to be able to write this stuff down. This is how the rubber's going to meet the road. This is how when you're discipling somebody and they ask you those tough questions, and you're like, you know what, I heard that, but I don't remember it, right? And then that allows you to go back, and then God, quick. See, think about it. Your spirit is like a hard drive computer. Everything is stored there, but you got to do what? Be able to locate it or access it. Amen? So we have a front end that we're able to access it, and it's all stored there. So what? Things are in your spirit, but you need something to recall it. Amen? So if I thumb through my little book and I find that scripture, then all of a sudden, I don't know about you, but I remember. The Bible talks about what he will quicken your spirit. He'll bring things back to your remembrance. Amen? I'm not making this stuff up. So this is why. So think about writing stuff down as your little heart frame. Maybe you do something like I got here or whatever floats your boat, but I encourage that. So, all right. So in Isaiah, the 33, third chapter, verse 6, and it says this, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Think about that for a moment. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Now, how do you harness fear? How do you make fear something that's tangible? The way I look at fear, I think fear is more of an abstract thing, right? It's something that I know it's there, but I can't really put my hands around it. Amen? Let's go on another verse. Matthew 13 and 52. Matthew 13 and 52. And he says this. "Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his house treasure, things old and new." Treasure that's both old and new. Interesting. So now he said that fearing God is the treasure, right? Then this one person said that you have this treasure that's both what? Old and new. Let's go on a little bit further. One of the more famous verses you'll see about this, Matthew 6. 19 through 21. And it says, you probably heard this one a lot. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, which moth and rust do corrupt, and which thieves break through and steal. But lay up for themselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For your treasure is where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So most of the time when we hear people talking about this verse, what are they typically talking about? Money, right? Don't go ahead and work and get all this money, and then you die, you know, people can break in your house and steal and all that. What if I told you that might be a wrong interpretation? What if I told you that we look at treasure completely wrong? Going somewhere with this. Now remember, we just read, the fear of the Lord is treasure, right? We just read, he said, don't put your treasure in earthen vessels, but put it up in heaven. How can you put treasure in heaven? Okay, right? Let me give you one more. Let's see. My key verse, 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 7. And this is going to pull it all together, and we're going to go in a little deeper. Y'all got your waders on. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Here, he said what? The treasure is what? Being poured from God into what? Earthen vessels. And being poured in earthen vessels, but for the excellency of power, but it's not what? He said, but not of us. So, the way this reads, treasure, what do you think treasure could be? One more verse I want to read. One more, then I'm really going to stop. I told a story. I got two more. Where is it? Matthew 13 and 44. Well, now listen to this.
And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man have found it, he hideth, and for joy, therefore, go and sell all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Now think about this. We equate treasure to being things on this earth, right? You know, if you read your first definition in the book, it'll say, what? People are looking for jewelry and gems and all this kind of stuff. Yes? Then it says treasure, and then you have treasury, right? Treasury being a place of what? Storage. We store what? Finance there, right? Things that we call money, and we put them there. Yes? Now, this Bible said that this man took all his stuff, sold it all, and bought the land where he found the treasure. Why would one do that? If treasure is money, why would I get money to go get that money? Maybe it was more of that than the other money, right? Maybe that's how you're thinking about it. But I submit to you something different. Now, mind you, every verse of this read where the word treasure was. Replace that word treasure with collection of thoughts. Collection of thoughts. All right, let's go back. Let's read it again. I'll read the last one. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto this collection of thoughts hid in a field, the which when a man have found, he hideth it and find joy. Therefore, go and sell all he had to buy the field. Why would I buy the field for a collection of thoughts? You and I started as a what? As a thought in the mind of God. This chair you're sitting in started as a what? A thought in the mind of the inventor. This carpet you stand on started out as a thought in the mind of the carpet maker. The paint that's on this wall started out in the thought of somebody when it came up to fruition. You and I are actually the living manifestation of God's thoughts. The Bible said what? He spoke things into existence. His thoughts came out of his mouth and spoke, and they were, because we are the manifestation of that. Our thoughts are the results of where we are.
Come on now.
The Bible says like this: as a man thinketh, so is what? He. You think negativity, you become what? Negative.
That's good.
We have some of the same power. God has given us some of that power that he has. And he tells us what? He told Adam, look, go take dominion.
Come on, man.
And you name the animals, and what if you name them? They will be. And I'm in the boat this morning.
Come on, man.
So everywhere I said treasure, put collection of thoughts.
Wow. I like that.
Treasure is really just a collection of thoughts.
Wow.
That's why he said, don't work for that treasure here on earth. But do what? Put your treasure in heaven. Because what? It's these thoughts that are going to get you out of your situation. Because you have to make what? A decision in your mind to be saved. That's why he said, what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to have faith that what you think and what I say will come to pass.
Right.
Yes.
Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
So therefore, my treasure, he said, don't put it in earthen vessels, but somewhere. If they come and take everything from me right now, clothes and all, and I'm standing here stark naked, as we would say, they can't take my mind. That's why he said, put it where? Somebody can't take it. So what this man did, this man found a field of thoughts, ideas. I sell all I got. If I got a field of ideas, it's going to make me probably quadruple what I have. That's the only thing that even makes logical sense. Why would you sell everything you got to go buy a field of nothingness? But the Bible said when he found it, he was so happy. He said what? Remember I went back and I read the other verse. He said what? The fear of the Lord is a what? A treasure that I know in my thoughts that God is God. So I fear him because he is God.
Amen.
Thank you. Let me prove it to you. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Where am I getting it? Deuteronomy 34. No, Deuteronomy 32 and 34, and it says this. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? Then you go down to Deuteronomy 28. Where is it at? 28 and 12. And he says this. The Lord shall open up to thee his good treasure. He's opening up what? His thoughts.
Wow.
The heaven to give the rain unto the holy, unto thy land in this season, and what? To bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. What is the treasure? He drops these ideas and these thoughts down to you, and then what? Those thoughts in turn make you rich in the land. Because people pay you for what? They pay you for your thoughts. My job is 100%, what I do at the university, is 100% they pay me to think, not my physical labor. They can find anybody to do that. But the way I think, they Because I think things broke a little differently. Are y'all with me this morning? I'm in the book. I'm going to push you. Your thoughts. I know I got a little time. I'm trying not to blame the time. But your thoughts. The Bible says this, Ephesians 6:11. What is it? Put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God is what? First it starts with what? The helmet of salvation. The first thing God protects is your mind. He says it like this. Let this mind be in you that was where? In Christ Jesus.
Come on, man.
He tells in the book of James, he said, a man of a what? A double mind is unstable in what? All his ways.
Come on, man.
It starts here.
Teach this thing, man.
You serve God with this. People talk in your heart, no, this is just a muscle. It lies here. When you get saved, you save your thoughts. Because your thoughts is going to drive your actions. So you change your thoughts. So that's why he puts on a helmet of salvation. Because what? Thoughts are freely what? Flowing throughout the universe. So if I spend enough time looking at bad stuff, what happens? I start to think bad stuff if I'm not careful. Because thoughts are always what? Flowing. That's why we have to watch our music. I like good music like anybody else. But if I listen to the wrong thing long enough, it does what? It infiltrates my thought pattern. And then I start thinking wrong. That's why faith is critical. Because faith is what? Faith is just a thought pattern. It says that you don't think the way everybody else thinks. You think this way because what? You're walking this way. So now what? It's a thought pattern that I'm following. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Meaning that what? I'm following this thought pattern and not all this other stuff that other people got going on. It's about your thoughts. God saves our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Come on,
man.
So you and I are what? God's thoughts manifesting in the earth, right? So then he says what? The power we are. So you and I are what? We are just the results of that, right? So what is actually the power? The power is not the results of what you have. It's in the process. Let me break it down to you. This chair. Whoever invented this chair, they probably had a patent on it, right? Did they actually even build one of these? I see, what, maybe 100 chairs in here, right? Do you not know every time somebody built one of these, whoever had that patent got a cut? Licensing and all this kind of stuff? They didn't physically do anything, but they thought of this and put the idea through. And to the point now, these ideas now become something tangible that we all need, we all like, and we all trust. So therefore, every time this thing gets somebody buy one, that person gets paid. So who's making the money? If we're going to get it in earth terms, the person who thought about it, not so much the person who made it. And you and I are so focused on things that what? We gathering things, and God is saying, no, I want you to think about it. So, Peter, why don't you say think? Yes, I'm saying think. And you know what? This is what God dropped on me. This is a bombshell. Y'all ready for this one? Prayer. said, Lord, what about prayers? I was sitting there and God was just doing it, and I was up in the house and I was so excited. I was like, ooh, God, I ain't never seen this thing like this. And you know, when you get a good word, it's like, oh my God, Lord, this is revolutionary for at least in my life. You know, even if the church don't catch hold of it, I know it's gonna change everything that I do. And he said, he dropped this on. He said, Peter, that's why prayer is essential. It's an exchange of thoughts.
Woo! Come on, somebody.
Prayer is just an exchange of thoughts between you and God.
Come on, I'm giving this thing better. Y'all giving me now.
An exchange of thoughts. Because see, prayer is a two-way communication. I know we just get down on, Lord, I need this, Lord, I need that, blah, 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 blah. Boom, you got. No. When you pray, he said, what? Don't use vain repetition. Right? I mean, I don't even keep repeating myself. I pray and I relax. I sit there and I bash in his presence. And all of a sudden, he started infusing things in me. He'll start dropping stuff on me. My best thoughts come when I'm in prayer. Your thoughts come where? Most people, what? They sing in the shower and they, you know, they say they got all these thoughts and they shower and all this kind of stuff. Why? Because they are what? In seclusion, where they have wrapped all this stuff up. And that's why prayer is essential. Because what prayer does, it puts you in this mindset that it closes out the outside world. So now you can actually listen just to him.
Amen.
Does that make sense? So now that I think about it, it's revolutionized why, oh man, I want to pray every day now for sure. Because I don't know what thought you might give me today. And if I don't pray today, then I don't know what it is that I missed that could have changed my life and my family's life and my children's children and children's 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 life. Because that might have been the thought that God wanted to give me that day. You know, he talks about what? That he what? Came down, the Bible says in Genesis, that he came down what? In the cool of the day to have what? Communion with Adam. He wants to know what Adam is thinking. He wants to know what Adam is thinking.
I like this. Okay. All right.
This is word.
God.
He wants to know what he is thinking. So now it makes sense. It all makes sense to me now. Why God wants us back. We are the results of his thoughts. If you made all these nice things and all this stuff, I don't know about you, but everything I made, I at least want one of them. Oh, I invented that, I invented that, I invented that, I invented that. So when he's storing all this stuff in his treasury, what is he doing? Storing up all these thoughts, which is the representation of, I mean, all these thoughts will have what? Results, which is a treasury. So remember I told you that they said, well, he has what? Both new and what? Old.
Amen.
So how do you have new? You have new thoughts and you have old thoughts. That's why I'm encouraging you all, write it down. Stop being lazy. Write it down. I've been there for years, and all of a sudden, I finally got it, and I'm so glad I did. Pull out your little book, go to Walmart, buy your little 99-cent book, write that stuff down. You don't know what you done wrote down that's going to change your life or change somebody else's life.
Amen.
These thoughts, that's where the treasure is. Now, okay, so now let's jump from the spirit to the earth. Now when you have these thoughts, you have these riches. That's why we're always rich. It's just how do you manifest your richness? Do you follow through on the thoughts? Or do you not? Some of us do. Some of us do not. That's the difference. Those who follow through have these things. Those who don't. That's why when people, you know, like, you see when billionaires and people lose money, they panic for the moment. But they don't lose their mind over it. Why? Because they understand the process. See, you can take this chair from me. But if I got the blueprint, do you see what I'm saying? You stole this from me. That's why he said, wait, don't worry about what the thief is. That's little stuff. God got more for you than that. And y'all worried about the thief. Take it. So the insurance company give me another check so I can build a check that was even bigger. I just didn't show you that one. We thinking about it wrong, y'all. And God wants to challenge us and raise our faith to a different level. You know, you out there being so busy doing this, and no, he wants you to think the things. So this is why prayer is essential. Prayer is your thought time. It's your thought time. That's why he said what? Now it makes sense. What the Bible says? Pray without what? Ceasing. always wondered. I said, Lord, how can I just keep praying? I walk around all day. No. I don't know about you, but I walk around thinking all day long. And you do too. Oh, God, this thing is good. I'm about to say this. The word of God is sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. Am I helping anybody here today?
Amen. Amen.
So your thoughts are where we are. It's your thought pattern. It's that process. So again, it says salvation. So what you need to do, and I encourage you today, find more time to think. It says what? And you know, the Bible says, I think it's in First Psalms, it said, in his what? In his law, I meditate what? Day and night. Just go back through it. I promise you. Go back through it with this revelation that God has given you. And then watch that thing jump off the page to you all and say, I kid you not. Take everywhere. Go do a Google search or whatever you got and find every place in the Bible you see the word treasure and put a collection of thoughts there and see what happens. It jumps off the page. I was like, oh, I didn't want to go to bed last night because I was trying to read everything. I said, Lord, I can't give them too much. It's going to be overload. And that's usually what happens, right? You know, all that God gives you, you only get like 10% of what he would have gave me. Because I can't give it to y'all all the time. It's too much. So I try to do that. So what you all get the highlights of me and God's conversation. Which might give y'all 45 minutes. Right? And that's how it is for you. When you talk to other people, they really only get the highlights of what God told you. Because you just cannot explain everything in detail the way God gives it to you. It's just so much. And it's overwhelming. And what happens is it makes you excited and you overjoyed and you just want to give it. It's like that restaurant, right? When it's so good, you're just like, oh my God, it's just so good. You got to go by there. Blah, blah. They're like, why don't you just shut up about it already? No, but it's so good. And this is how the word of God becomes to us. When it jumps off the page like this, and God gave us this morning, and I was looking at it last night, and I'm like, wow. That's why I want the body to feel. It's the thoughts. Change the way you think. Change the way you think. And I'm trying to end here, and I'll try to end it with this. Remember, there's a verse in the Bible that says this, that the enemy comes to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But he said that I come that you might have life, and life more what? Abundantly. How does the enemy kill, steal, and destroy? He takes those thoughts, that mind. He stole those thoughts when you don't write them down. He killed that vision when you didn't follow through. And he destroyed your life when you're devastated, when you're sitting in these jobs, working dead end jobs, when you should be out there creating things. Or you should be out there inspiring people and getting people to see things much differently. This is what God has called us to do. Change people's lives. Because he's changed our life. And all he asked for in return is what? I don't want your gift. I gave that to you so that you can have fun. Because I don't know about you, I'm a gifted in math. I have fun. It's fun to me. It's not work. The things that you're gifted in, it's fun to you. I'm gifted in teaching. I know that. It's fun to me. This is not work. See, when you're gifted in the area, see, the thing is about me being gifted as a teacher, I'm gifted in the teaching, the presentation, and the pedagogy, but I got to work at the content. Do you see what I'm saying? So therefore, I got to study to show myself proof. I can teach it all day, but if I don't know it, I can't teach you something that I don't know. So even with the giftedness, there's always what? A crux in there, right? I used to have this thing on the bottom of all my emails that said, wait, hard work beats talent when talent don't work hard. You know, somebody working hard is important, right? And they just get it. You know, this is that person who's studying this, this, and this, and they do okay. And you got talent. That talent would be, like I said, I can teach. But if I don't study the information, then know it, then they will outdo me. But if I study the information and I got my talent, you'll never, ever, 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 ever beat me. And the same goes for you. Just like Brother Lee here is talented at cutting hair. If he works at it a little bit more, who's going to beat him? That's his gift. You're not going to get a Montez Lee cut. Are there other people who can cut hair? Yeah, but they don't cut it like he cut it. I've had a haircut probably, I guess in my lifetime, maybe I'm up to maybe 1,000 now. And every haircut, you know, they all are good, you know what I'm saying? But there's some uniqueness about every single one of them. Just like I'm up here teaching, are they better teachers and preachers? And absolutely, definitely better singers. However, I am uniquely who I am. And it's just something that you're going to get from a Peter Healy sermon that you're not going to get from anybody else.
Amen.
It's just what it is. The same with you. There's something about what you bring to the table is just uniquely you. And that's that favor God has put on your life. And people pay you for that what? That favor. Because it's uniquely you. I don't care where you go. You can, you know, and I hear my friends from up north, and I'm closing. I hear my friends from up north. I have a friend come down this week, and the first thing they, you know what everybody from up north want to do? They come here, and they want to go to Bojangles.
Right.
All my friends come here, and they want to go to Bojangles. You know, they got Popeyes, they got churches, they got KFC, they got all these other kind of chicken places, and all of them fried chickens, right? All of them fried chicken, well, they do. That's why they in business. You got these winners and all these other chicken places. Yes? But it's something about the way Bojangles fry their chicken and make their sweet tea. It is what it is. When I go to Chicago, I can have deep dish pizza everywhere. But it's just something about a Gardello's pizza in Felicia. When we go there, we gotta have Gardello's. You know, so much to the fact, you know what we did? And this is, you know, us telling our fat time. I'm losing, y'all. Look, I can really see. It's coming. But we were paying, I think we made $60 to get them to overnight us a pizza. I know, I just told them.
Hey.
They'll put it in a nice little styrofoam box, put it on dry ice. But you know what? You cannot get that pizza anywhere else but them. So if that's what I'm craving and that's what I gotta have, what do? You'll pay whatever it cost. Think about that for a moment. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see. If God has manifested this thought in you, this thought now what? You've monetized this thought. People are paying you for it. Because you're the only one that can do it like that. She did it, but not like that.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Why do these people fly to these concerts with Beyonce? It is what it is. You can't do it like she do it. We all can sing that whatever song she's singing or do whatever they do, but you don't do it exactly like her. She has her own flair. It's her gift to that. And people what? They pay her for what? Her gift. She ain't gave them nothing. Think about that for a moment. She just breaking in more and more and more. And now she's doing what? She's building up a treasure, which is what? Earth. Earthen, right? That's an earth treasure. But what does the Bible say right at the end? When I read, he said that what? Even God does what? He pours this into earthen vessels. What he pouring does? His thoughts. His spirit is in us. That's his collection of his thoughts. When you get the Holy Ghost, it gives you what? A new thought pattern. So now you have a collection of his thoughts. He said what? That's in us, thou, but is what? Not of us. Did it not say that? Think about it. It's in us, but not of us. That's why you can't go around claiming that you did. You know, I found this. I've been looking for one of these for a while, and I just happened to find it yesterday. Felicia and I was in the bookstore. You know, Lecrae started this thing called Iron Second, right? You know, like God is first, and da 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 da. And I've been looking, and I finally found one. And when you think about it, I am second. Because I'm only here because he thought of me, and he put that in me, and to remind me that it's not me, because I'm only here because of who? Him.
Amen.
Are y'all with me today, church? Amen, amen. So with that being said, you used your gift. You gave your present. But God, what does he appreciate? Your treasure. And your treasure is what? Those thoughts. Because he gave you, the Bible said, what? He would give you the desires of your heart. People look at that and mean that, oh, if I want a car, he's going to give me that. If he did, it's because he gave you the desire to want the car. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, some people are like, well, he gives you the desires of your heart. That means that what? He downloads into you. Because if you're in prayer, what do? You have this exchange of thoughts. Because I might have wanted this Corolla, but he really wanted me to have his Land Rover.
Yeah.
So when I'm not talking to him, I go out and buy the Corolla because my budget said this is what it can fit, right? Mm-hmm. But when I would talk to him in prayer, he would be like, go around there, take that back street, to the store today. And you be thinking, every God even did that to you all. You know, I normally go this way. He said, go that way. And you go that way, and all of a sudden, there's somebody just walking out there in the front, putting up a sale sign on the car. And they say, that's the car I've been looking for. And then you hear, just stop and ask. And then you stop and you ask. You sell that car? Yeah, blah, blah. You know, we're moving, or I'm in the military. I need to sell it fast. Oh, okay. Well, you know it's worth this, 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 and this. But I got to move it fast. Well, will you take this for it? Well, I guess. Do y'all see? Those are the blessings of God. It starts with a what? A thought. Now here you go. Gonna go over here and get in all this debt. Going over here to the dealership because you're figuring things what? The Bible says what? Lean not into your own understanding. My understanding says that I go down there, I talk to the credit union, they got 3.75 rate. Okay, I can handle that. Let me figure that out. It's $14,000. I don't pay for $200 a month. Okay, cool, I can do that. Insurance might be this. So now I go over here to Rice Toyota and I'm looking for a Camry. Well, I could have just used that $5,000 that I know I had saved up. He said, go around the corner. Because this person's about to get deployed or whatever, and they just try to unload stuff because they figure they'll get something for nothing. I mean, a little bit out of it. I'm telling y'all true stories. This stuff happens all the time. Amen. Especially when you live in military towns. They just want to unload it. Mm-hmm. And they like, I'm willing to take anything for it, because if not, they just will sit here and it's probably going to be vandalized while I'm gone. Heck, I don't know if I'm coming back. Yeah, I mean, that's real, right? So I'd rather just get what I can get out of it, bless somebody else. People say that kind of stuff. Just give me $5,000 for it. Now you walk around, you driving a $60,000 to $70,000 truck that people are looking at you like, how does she afford that? I'm gonna stop, y'all. Come on, this thing is too good to me today. They turn their nose up. But she just a secretary. How can she afford a Range Rover? The blessings of God are yay and amen. He added the blessings without sorrow, meaning trouble. So yeah, I can be looking like $1 million and not have $1 million. As we used to say over there, when we was at Alex's house, we said, we'd just be bougie on the budget. And there's nothing wrong with it. That's the favor of God. You know, my wife comes home all the time. No, no, she's smiling and she walks around like, I can tell when Felicia's getting, she didn't do something. She walked around like, guess what? So I'm like, oh no, what you didn't do. I went to such and such today and I got this for $2. And she's so excited and, you know, because it might have been, but you know, I've been watching this for like 6 months and it was like $800 and they gave it to me for $1. And, you know, and I see the joy that it brings to her face. And these are the kind of things that God blesses us with, y'all. I promise you, most people look at all the things that God has blessed me, the treasures that I have here. Those treasures, I pay pennies on a dollar for. Because God said, those who bless him, he will bless them, right? If you give your tithes and your offering, if your tithe and your offering, he said what? He will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So you live a blessed life. You have things that other people think you paid $1 million for. You have stuff that people are like, well, how do you do that? They don't know that the truck is 10 years old because you keep it in such good condition because you keep it in the garage. And when you drive the folks think you just bought a brand new truck. It's like, no, that's the same one I had like 15 years ago. God has a way of preserving us. Most of us are what, in our 40s, working on 50. And none of us in here look a day over 35. That's real talk. He preserves us. God preserves the people. Most of us can go most places. If I shave a little bit of this gray off, and I still get it, they think I'm 36, 37 all the time now. When I was 36, 37, they thought I was in my early 20s. I mean, mid-20s. I kid you not. I see my mom. Everywhere we go, people ask my mom, is that my sister? And you know, she just eats that up. And she in her mid-60s. God preserves his people. He preserves our bodies. He preserves our minds. It starts with the thought. That treasure. God bless you all. Love you all. I'm done on today. I hope that this message was a blessing.